We have another great lesson for you today. We'll be reviewing Numbers, chapter 11, beginning at verse 24, where we ended last week. And God has a word for us. We looked at some complaints last week. We'll look at some consequences this week. And we're continuing our study in this unit about the faithfulness of God. We learned about his holiness, and we found that he is perfectly holy, and he is above faithfulness. He is far beyond. He is superior. He is superlative in every way in terms of faithfulness. It's because he's consistent. He's consistent. And when you're consistent, you will be found faithful. In the lesson last week, we heard the plaintive cry of the Israelites, and they were complaining about there being no meat. Deacon Harmon, it's like when we used to go to the family deacon fellowships, and Deacon Doc Brown used to say, we got a lot of meat, but there ain't no pretty biscuits here, So, it just never please. And, there are some of us that were there were saying, meat is all you need, Because whatever you got to learn to be content and stop complaining, We asked you, Sister Davis, please don't complain last week. But today I want to share and point out with you the danger, the consequences, rather, of complaining, the consequences of complaining. Good to see Deacon Newsom back with us. See that he's out and about, ready to go to worship. We're going to usher him on into the house and try to get you guys out into the worship center as soon as possible this morning, because the consequences were quick and swift. Minister Brown, it was quick. It was quick and swift. And we're going to see that in chapter 11, beginning with verse 24 from last week. You remember that Moses had complained, and that's why we saw the dangers of complaining. Is because when people complain, then you can cause someone else to complain. That's why you really shouldn't complain, is that, people start grumbling and murmuring. One person start grumbling and murmuring. You have the whole family church group grumbling and complaining. So, but for someone who has been good to you, let's not even just talk about God. Let's just talk about anybody that has been good to you. To complain is the ultimate show of ingratitude. We pointed that out last week. You're ungrateful. You are ungrateful when you complain. You've got everything. God woke you up this morning. He gave you activity of your limbs, gave you a reasonable portion of health and strength, gave you a sound mind, and yet you're complaining. And when you start complaining, other folks will start complaining. Because, you remember when we were doing on a regular basis, everybody, the 100%ers in-person worship, some would complain, Brother Davis, it's too cold in here. It's just too cold in here. And then other Sister Davis would be saying, "Woo-wee, it's hot up in here, it's too hot in here. It's too hot. It's too cold. You preach too long. You beg for money too much. Worship is too long. Worship is too short. The deacons sleep on the front row. The ushers are not kind. The greeters, yeah. Complain, complain, and complain. But yet, God brought you to this beautiful edifice, gave you a preacher, preaches sound doctrine, a magnification team that can take you right to the throne of God himself, invoke the presence of God, but yet you find some reason to complain. Well, just goes to show ain't nothing changed in thousands of years. Dean Harmon, they still complaining. They complain at resurrection just like the folk did out there in Israel. Been delivered. Been delivered. But now they're complaining. And they're complaining about manna. And you know, this week I took the opportunity to go back and look at some of the Jewish writings about this thing of manna, because I'm trying to figure out if you hungry, you'll eat anything. You know, if you really hungry. That's why, you know, the old folks used to say, hey, I ain't worried about you. You don't eat that food. So you get hungry enough, you'll eat them collard greens. You'll eat that spinach. You know, I don't like macaroni. I don't like no tea. If you get hungry enough, you eat and you'll drink all of that. And so it is, God is about to show them that because they have this craving, this lusting. And I thought about that, Brother Bogan, during the week, that, man, does this seem harsh? I mean, you treat your children like that? You know, they don't want to eat their spinach. So you just give them a whole bunch of candy. I got to thinking, it can't be about the manna. It can't be about the meat. Ultimately, what these folk were complaining about was God. They were complaining that he wasn't doing what they wanted him to do. Remember now, this complaining starts after on this trek from Sinai, after the law is given, they start complaining. So really, is it about the manna? That, you know, my further reading about Jewish questions, that this manna, some of the Jewish historians described this manna as a almost a pastry that had many flavors. So if it had many flavors, hey, one morning you have sausage, the next morning you have bacon. One day you have steak, the next day it tastes like chicken. But it's manna, and it's producing. Another thing, an interesting fact that came out, Sister Davis, is that the manna, the food, the manna that was given to them was so perfect. Now, this is according to the Jewish writers, that the manna was so perfect that the body could absorb it, fully digest it, without eliminating any of it. Oh, y'all don't hear me. You look at God, because all of God's gifts are perfect in every way. It makes sense. And there's a reason for that, because God is a good steward of resources, and he tries to teach us to be good stewards of resources. Why have it if you're going to misuse it? Why have it if you're going to complain about it? And you got to remember, it was God that gave it to you. God gave it to you. So you have no right to complain. But when you do, when you start planning, complaining, you'll have other folk start complaining. The people complain. So Moses went to God and said, God, oh, these people, hey, I mean, they're like suckling babies in my bosom. They are a burden. they're a drag on me. What am I to do? These are your people, Lord. God says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I want you to gather 70 elders. Bring them to me. I'm going to talk to them. That's where we began today's lesson. That's where we begin. Sister Bernstein Reynolds, are you there? Sister Bernstein? Sister Bernstein Reynolds. Just turn on your mic. Am I muted also? Because everybody else is. No? Okay. You can hear me?
Yes, sir. It's coming in clear.
Sister Bernstein?
I hear you.
Okay. All right. Great. Okay. I tell you what, something's wrong with Sister Bernstein, her mic then. Brother Bogan, if
yes,
you
sir.
Would you read verses 24 and 25 for me?
Yep.
Right.
Yes,
quick.
Sir. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and sent them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease.
There's a complaint. God says, get 70 elders. Bring them to me. I'll speak to them. And Moses did exactly that. He was obedient. And when God spoke, the Spirit of God rested. Some of the Spirit that was on Moses went to these 70. Moses, who had done all the prophesying, is now sharing that prophesying responsibility with these 70. Now, notice one thing. Nowhere in the text does it tell us what they were prophesying about. It doesn't even really give us an insight into what the prophetic activity was. All it says is that they now had the power to prophesy. Bogan, but I want you to read just one more for me. Read verse 26. I want y'all to pay careful attention to this passage of scripture here.
Verse 26. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other, Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp.
I tried for the life of me to really understand through prayer for consideration why this particular passage of scripture is there. Other than what you have to do, you can't use it in its immediate context, but almost in the futuristic context. Let me show you. Bear with me. God is showing his people here that, first of all, I can give power to anybody I want to, because I'm God. The Spirit of God can rest on anyone. And their geography, where they are, does not depend on whether or not my spirit can reach them. Don't know what they were prophesying about, but it's one thing God is showing here. I can do it to anybody I want to. I can give it that power and authority to anyone I want to. And I do it for unity, for consistency, because I don't want Bogan out there talking about five and Steve talking about preschool. I want them to be on the same page. Whatever God does, God is a God of order. And God is showing them, first of all, I'm going to show you, just give you a demonstration of my order. I'm not a God of confusion. Whenever you're complaining and murmuring and grumbling, the consequences of that is that it will bring confusion. But God says, I'm going to show you that there will be no confusion. I'm going to give it to 70 elders. 68 of them are inside, 2 of them outside. 68 of them near the tent, 2 of them outside the tent. But whatever they say or whatever they do, they will do it in unity because it is by my spirit that they move. Real important, because it says anytime we grumble and we complain, it brings about division. It brings about a distraction. And you should never do that. God says you need to be on the same page. You shouldn't be having the maintenance superintendent turn the air up, turn the air down, make the seat comfortable. Maybe it's too hard, it's too soft, it's not good enough. Be careful what you pray and ask for. Because a lot of that stuff that you pray and ask for is not in the will of God for your life. And it could be just dispensationally. It's not in your season now because it's not your season. But God wants to show you he's faithful because he's unified. There's nothing distracting him. He doesn't have one opinion and then another opinion. He is consistent, therefore he is faithful. But it also shows us, it points to, I told you many of the things in the Old Testament point to the New Testament. It pointed, this particular prophetic activity pointed to the day of Pentecost. And God can pour his spirit out on anybody. To the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Oh, somebody better help me. God is a God of order. God is a God of consistency. That is why he is faithful. And when we complain and grumble, we are ungrateful and we're unfaithful. And ultimately, any complaining and grumbling that we do is simply a rebellion against God. They weren't complaining about that manna, Mike Mitchell. They weren't, Deacon Mitchell, they were not complaining about that. They were rebelling against God. They ain't like all them laws. Because understand, all the laws that God had given, you know, we look at the Ten Commandments. That's just a summary. But the law that God gave the Israelites was very comprehensive. It controlled every aspect of their lives. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's when they got the law, Bogan, is when they started complaining. Mm-hmm. Mr. Paulette, when they got the law, that's when they started complaining. They didn't complain before then. So God pours out his spirit on 70. Also about these consequences, let me throw this in before we run out of time. Remember 70? Remember that number 70. You remember it, don't you, Sister Ogletree? You remember, I know Rem Calvin remember. You remember Rem Calvin that the night before the crucifixion, that Sanhedrin council had convened? Well, this 70, that was the beginning of the Sanhedrin council. Somebody better help me. Told you it's pointing to, better be careful what you ask for. But God says, even in your disorderly conduct, I'm still faithful. I'm going to give you what you want, because I'm a provider. I'm going to meet your needs because I'm a provider. I'm going to provide for you because I am Jehovah Jireh. But there are consequences of asking for craving, for lusting for things that really don't meet your needs. Sister Carol White, unmic. Verse 27, 28. Sister Carol White.
Verse 20, 27. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad prophesy in the camp. 28. And Joshua, the son of Nun, servant of Moses, one of the young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them.
Lord Moses, please stop this. God forbid. This is a new thing here. You got, wait a minute. Was it not 70 that you called to prophesy in the camp? And these two outside the camp are prophesying? They ran and they told Joshua, and Joshua, a dedicated servant of Moses, says, Moses, you can't let this happen. Isn't it amazing? Anytime there's anybody that comes, God starts using anybody in the church. Minister Brown, Deacon Harmon, anytime God starts using anybody, even in the church today, in a special way, because they don't fall in a certain category, they shouldn't be doing that.
All right.
Oh, absolutely. Folk, I ain't telling you something I heard. I'm telling you something I know. Been the victim of it. But when God has called you to do something, when God has anointed you, when God has empowered you to do something, you can't do nothing else. Whether you in the camp or out the camp, whether you in church or whether you in Universal City, you got to do what the Lord said do. And it doesn't matter if people don't embrace the fact that the Lord is using you in that way.
You just need, you froze up on us.
Yeah, you know what, Brother Davis? That cannot happen again. I saw what happened. I could see what was happening. I was disconnected. You know why? Because somebody didn't want you to hear what I got to say.
Mm-mm.
Whenever you're operating in the anointing of God, don't let any man, any men, any women, any boy or girl tell you what God has done to you and through you. Because ultimately what it is, it's a complaint against God. It tells God, Keith, that God doesn't know what he's doing when he uses someone who has, you know, doesn't have all the credentials. Oh, I was there, but in order to prophesy, you got to be in. Oh, no, I was there. In order to prophesy, you got to be out. No, you got to do it wherever God tells you to do it. And I'm glad that the scripture did not tell us exactly what the prophetic activity was, because it just shows you that there are those who will complain no matter what. When God is doing a great thing in their lives, when seemingly he's doing nothing in their life, they got to complain. They just want to complain. But we're going to get to these consequences of complaining. Sister Carol, before we
just
read, just start reading until I say stop.
Okay. And Moses said unto him, envy thou for my sake?
Go ahead.
Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them? And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, as it were, a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and it was 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. Verse 32.
Consequences of complaining. In this particular verse here, verse 29, there's a reply from Moses that sets the young servant, or Joshua, straight. Says, are you jealous for me? In other words, are you saying that I should be jealous? Folk, what God has for you is for you. And when you complain about what other folk are doing, you are really complaining about God. Because listen how the servant of God handles this. Moses says, you're not going to pit me against Deacon Harmon. You're not going to have me comparing and competing against Deacon Harmon, Minister Brown. You're not going to have me doing that. I'm not jealous of what God is doing in their life. And don't you be jealous about what they are doing for God. Because that which is done for God is for God. And God wants us now to be unified. Even when, in other words, he's trying to bless us. Stop complaining long enough to receive the blessing. Deacon Mitchell, stop complaining long enough to receive the blessing. Don't worry about what other folk are doing. Don't worry about what other churches are doing. Don't talk about God has this special blessing and it's just for you. God blesses whoever he wants to bless. Quit complaining, because when you stop complaining, you'll see God. Complaining distracts you from God. But God says, nevertheless, and there went forth a wind. That's what Sister Carol read. She said, and a wind blew in a mess of quail. Now, you talking about me? Any quail eaters out there? Somebody like Davis, probably. His wife, the gardener, they probably eat quail and stuff. No, that's not a part of my palate. But they wanted me. They got me. And that was a whole bunch of meat. But do you remember last week when God says, I'll give you so much meat, it'll be coming out of your nostrils. Mm-hmm. See, because God is consistent. God says, stop complaining, stand back, and see that I'm faithful. I'll give you what you want. That's called not in his perfect will, but that's in his permissive will. So you'll get some of the stuff that you want. But remember, God warned them last week, I'll give you more than enough because I'm more than enough. Verse 32 says, Sister Carol, 32 and 33.
Verse 32, and the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. Verse 33.
Before you read 33, Sister Carol, let me just share something about 32 with you. Look at, did God do exactly what he said he's going to do? Did he give it 32? Y'all can just shake your head. A hole up there, you know. He did exactly what he said. He said, when they stood up the next day, that was quail. That was quail. Oh, there was some kind of quail. Edmondson, I'm telling you, that was quail. That was quail out there. Because when you look at the amount of quail that was there, some of the Jewish writers have suggested that the quail that was provided was about 3 feet high and about 15 miles in every direction. around that camp. That's a lot of dead birds, y'all. That's a lot of dead birds. Not a matter of fact, the only people that could appreciate that much bird is a Baptist preacher. Chicken. That was some kind of bird, Steve. That was bird, as far as you could see. Imagine the 3 feet, though. That's what got me, Brother Edmonds. 3 feet. That means it is waist deep. You're waist deep in birds for 15 miles outside your camp. You ain't gonna eat all that. Oh yeah, and some, you know, they got the pots got the going, you know, the pans were clapping. I mean, Sister Vanessa, they were ready. They gonna throw down. They gonna eat. Oh, we gonna eat up in here. Oh, and by the way, you know, some of y'all go prepare because you know we can't eat all this in one day. You know, you gotta start collecting this stuff. You gotta start and see, there was no refrigeration, so they dried it because that's how they did it in Egypt. You know, they dried this bird and it would turn to salt, and then they would use, that's how they had their salt and all. They just fantasized that, you know, their biggest dreams have come true because they got some bird. They got fowl of the air. They got quail. They got quail. They got quail. They could make quail soup, quail casserole, quail on the quail on rye, quail dry. They could have just quail. But for 15 miles, imagine come out of your house and there's 15 miles in every direction of birds, 3 feet high, dead on the ground. And it says that God calls it. You want it, bird? You want it flesh, you're going to get flesh. Sister Carol, 33.
Verse 33, and while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague.
I don't know y'all about y'all, but I'm definitely carnivorous. I mean, all my friends know, Sister Vanessa, Harry, everybody who knows me knows that I love meat. But let me tell you one thing. I think I'd have lost my appetite. When you see that much meat, you know, how can you even have a cup? But see, they had craved and they had lust for this. They had lust for Egypt. They had lust for the finer things. They wanted to make Egypt great again. Instead of MAGA, they wanted to be eager. You know, they want, you know, in their minds, that's what they did. So in other words, that's what we do when we complain. We complain, and what we're doing, we're saying that our old lifestyle, because you remember when you were out there in the streets. Look mm-hmm. here, you raised Cain in a minute. Matter of fact, I'll take y'all way back. Kmart, Crest, Sears, Montgomery Ward, Popeyes, churches, those waiters, cashiers didn't stand a chance when you wanted to complain about something. You knew how to complain. You knew how to throw it out. And what they were doing, they were craving for that. They were saying that that lifestyle was better than what God was providing right now. That's ultimately saying, Sister White, that God doesn't know what he's doing. So we need to tell him what to do. And God says, since you are directing me, here's your enough. That's more than enough. And it says here in this verse that while they were yet chomping, while yet their teeth seared through the flesh of the quail, while they had yet been able to even swallow, while they were rolling meat around in their mouth, swishing it between their teeth, the consequences of their complaining shows up. Verse 34 and 35.
And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hathaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Verse 35. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hathaavah unto Hazeroth and abode at Hazeroth.
Now, while they yet ate, some of the people died. And some of you are going to sit there and say, you know, that's pretty harsh for just wanting some meat. No, it wasn't about wanting the meat. It was about rebellion against God and not repenting. And you know how I know, Brother Bogan, that they didn't repent for complaining? They started eating and they never said, Lord God, thank you for the quail. That showed you that they were ungrateful. That showed you that they really didn't think that it was God who was providing. That showed you that it was rebellion against God. And that's many, many of us complain and complain without saying, Lord, thank you for what I do have. Whenever, I told you last week, whenever you start talking about the mates of yours and complaining, you the one praying for them. You got them. You need to thank God. Because that's what brought discipline into your life for some of you. Because without some of your mates, you'd been long gone. Long, buried in your grave out there doing all kinds of that, lost. Cuts both ways. They never thank God. That was sinful. To not be grateful is sinful. And since they started eating without praying, without thanking God, they hadn't repented. So sin's got to be punished. God is always consistent. God is always faithful. And it says, because of that, they renamed this place Kibroth Hathaavah. Kibroth Hathaavah. Graves for of the craving. You'll die. You'll die in your sin if you don't repent of it. You'll die lusting for the world if you don't repent of it. Don't try to force God's hand. Don't try to make God do. Don't usurp the authority of God to have him do your will instead of his will. That is a deadly combination. That is a deadly consequence of complaining. And that's what complaining is. It's trying to usurp the authority of God. God, you can't do this. You can't do this in this place. God, you can't meet our needs. And you certainly can't meet it the way that we want it. It's ultimate rebellion. And ultimate rebellion results in an ultimate death. Those are the consequences of sin. So, Paul, as he writes in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Notice that in verse 35, they left Kibroth and they went on to Hazeroth. God let them continue on in their journey. Despite your mess, despite your complaining, he's still blessing resurrection. When are we going to go back to church? When are we going to start gathering again? When are we going to have the classes? When are we going to do this? Those folk don't know what they're doing. One day they say one thing. Why do we have to wear masks? Why do we have to get temperatures taken? Why do we have to do complain, complain, complain? Grumble, grumble, grumble. Ultimately, could we just talk? Could you just tell me what the real problem is? Because the problem can't be masks. The problem can't be that you just got to sit in the chair. That you got to hold up holy hands. That you got to hear a certain song. That the pastor's got to preach a certain one. That cannot be the problem. Tell me, I'm here. I got just a few minutes, few seconds. But just tell me what the real problem is. We'll try to address it together. Because I don't need you complaining. Especially about God. I don't need you complaining about the man of God. I don't need you complaining about the people of God, because the consequences are deadly. God bless you. God keep you is my prayer for you. And that may you never pray to get everything you want, because there are some things you should just not have. And God knows what's best for each and every one of us. See y'all later.